The title of the message is Two Gates and Two Roads, if you remember. This is part three of that. And this is based on the fact that Jesus commands us to choose the narrow way. But it's important that we understand that there's two parts to the narrow way. There is the gate and there is the road. And we are expected not just to go through the gate, but we're expected to travel on the narrow road. And so this is based out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate. And then he goes on to talking about the road now. And broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I said last week, this has to be one of the saddest things that Jesus ever said, because when you really see what he said, he's saying most people are never going to go through the narrow gate. And most people are never going to walk along the narrow road. He says only a few find it. And that is, I mean, that's heartbreaking. But that had to be, if you think it's heartbreaking for us, imagine how heartbreaking it had to be for Jesus, who came. His whole purpose was to come and to literally give his life as a ransom and suffer a brutal death so that people could not only go through the narrow gate, but also to walk the narrow road. Understand that in the narrow road is, it means the walk of life that we take after we go through the narrow gate. And on that road is all the fullness, all the blessings, everything Jesus died to provide. It's found there. It's not on the broad road. Everything the world has to offer is in the broad road, but everything that Jesus has to offer can only be found on the narrow road. And so life is filled with choices, and this is really about a choice. It's actually about more than one choice, but I like to say it this way. I've said it many times. It's how the Lord spoke it to me, that real Christianity is the person, you or me, taking the God-given power of choice that God will never take away from us, the God-given power of choice, and making the final choice to let God make all the rest of our choices. And so that's narrow way living. Now, some people, they may say, well, you know, you're just a little too narrow-minded. Well, take that as a compliment, because that just means when you're talking spiritually speaking that we understand that there is a narrow way. Jesus talked about it. And so, again, life's filled with choices. Some of those choices sometimes don't seem to have a great impact on our lives, at least in the moment. And then some have great impact on our lives even in the moment. Some have terrible consequences and great rewards in the moment. Some have terrible consequences in the long haul, and also good choices that have good consequences in the long haul. And what happens with us is if we don't see it immediately, somehow we discredit it. The reason people keep, you know, eating sugar all the time or for instance, you know, any other kind of bad habit that they say is wrong for us, the reason people don't stop doing it usually is because there's not instant consequences. When there's instant consequences, it gets our attention, and then all of a sudden, pray for me. Right? So we make choices in life. They're all important, but some have quick impacts and some are slow. But the scripture lets us know that when we go through that gate, understand it's a small gate. We've talked about this last week and a week before. It's a small gate, but Jesus used the description of being born again. And if we understand what it means to be born, we can kind of have an understanding of what it means to be born again. When we were born, when we came into this world, we didn't take anything in with us. Now, is there anybody in this room that was born with their clothes on? Anybody in this room, were you wearing jewelry or, you know, makeup or anything? No, you were born naked and bare, right? And when you're born again, it happens the same way, naked and bare. You can't take anything with you. You were born in this world and through a very narrow way. You're born again through a very narrow way. That's the way it is. And so people are fooling themselves. I believe we have many, many people who have had what I would call a false conversion, because their idea of Christianity is just say this little prayer and this fixes everything. They'd just soon be saying abracadabra. if there's no repentance in the heart, if that person is not willing to forsake their past and say, God, you can have all the successes, all the failures, all of it gets left behind. I'm passing through this narrow way, and that old life is gone. The new life is starting right now. If we've not done that, if that was not what we experienced, then we probably did not get born again. It was a false conversion. And this is why people can continue to just live in sin as though it's nothing, with no conviction, and they can excuse it and so on and so forth. And not only excuse it, but then since they're excusing it for themselves, they have to begin to promote it as okay for everybody else. And then they come down with the lie that, well, apparently God made me this way. And that, listen, I'm not just talking about things like homosexuality. I'm talking about, this is the same mindset people have about any sin in their life. They get to the place where they say, I can't help it. This is apparently just who I am. But Jesus said, well, the born again you was brand new. You can't take that other stuff with you. So we got to stop saying I'm just a sinner saved by grace. We got to start saying I was a sinner. That's who I used to be. Now I'm a saint that's been saved by the grace of God. And it doesn't mean I'll never sin again, but it does mean I don't have to ever sin again. So we talked about that narrow gate, and then Jesus said, anybody that tries to come any other way other than him, the gate, the narrow gate, the small gate, is a thief and a robber. They're trying to get through some other way. When we're trying to get through by leaning to our own understanding, by coming up with our own way, you know, it amazes me. I've talked about this before, but it amazes me how the children of Israel come out of Egypt with all of the blessings that they came out with, because they came out rich, but they took the very blessings and they turned it into a golden calf. And they didn't just turn it into a golden calf, but they named the golden calf Yahweh. They took what they came up with in their own mind and gave it God's name. So just because God's name is put on something doesn't mean God has anything to do with it. Amen. So Jesus said, again, they're a thief and a robber if they try to go any other way. How many of you know you can't trust a thief or a robber? Now, then we're going to talk mainly about the broad road versus the narrow road. So there's the gate, but there's also the road. In John 14, 1 through 6, let's just go to verse 6. In verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now we focus on that word way. I'm the way. And when we think about way, we think about, you know, the door, because he said, I'm the gate. But Jesus isn't just the door. He's also the pathway. He also shows us the way to live. He shows us what someone who's going through the narrow way looks like, how they live. And how do they live? Well, Jesus lived a sinless life, actually. But he also lived a life completely submitted to the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived a life of power. Jesus lived a life of truth. Everywhere he went, people's lives were touched for eternity. Now, there were a couple of times, you know, Pastor Cindy said, why would they want to crucify somebody that just went around healing anybody? Well, he did turn a few tables over in the temple. He did rebuke a few Pharisees. He did, you know. But ultimately, everything he did was good, because he's incapable of doing anything that wasn't good. So again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But you can't really think that you are on the right way if you're not living according to the truth and living out his life. So the broad way, the reason people take the broad way is the broad way is easy. The broad way has no restrictions. You know, the narrow way, it's restricted. The broad way has no restrictions or prohibitions. I mean, just do whatever you want in the broad way. And it's okay, because Jesus loves you. He loves you. He just wants to sit down and eat ice cream with you and everybody feel good and tell each other how wonderful they are. And that's what we want too, right? I mean, that's what we really want. We want people to think we're wonderful. That's why we spend so much time trying to convince them how wonderful we are, right? Because we want them to think that. So we don't like it when something shows us that we're not so wonderful. But again, anything on the broad road goes, and that broad road is open. It's affirming. It seems loving. It's accepting. Do you know what the world is after today? All they're after right now is affirmation, but they want to be affirmed in their sin. They want to be told that they're okay in their sin. But the truth of the matter is just like you and somebody else has to come to repentance, I had to also come to repentance, right? We can't say, you know, I tell people, your sin may not be the same as my sin, but we both have to repent of whatever sin that is. So it's not okay. I can't just say, well, God made me this way. We were sinners. We came into this earth sinners because of the fall of mankind, and we have to repent of whatever the sin is. We can't just say, I was born this way. Well, yeah, I was born this way, a sinner, and I need to repent. So again, the broad road is the way of the unthoughtful, the undisciplined, the lazy. And we're talking about, of course, spiritually lazy, worldly, ungodly, materialistic, and carnal. That's the broad way. There's plenty of room for those people. And so that's the way they're going to take. The narrow road, however, is much harder. It's a lot more difficult to travel. But why? Because it doesn't get a whole lot of attention. The narrow road is, it requires surrender and determination and discipline. And I'm talking about spiritually here. Self-control and self-denial. By the way, all of those things come through the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. But many times we misinterpret that to mean I have to have a strong self-will so I can control myself. No, it means that you need to get rid of your self-will so the Holy Spirit can control you. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Self-control is letting the Holy Spirit control myself. Amen? Because if not, self will want to take over and he's going to always do it wrong. So the narrow road is an unpaved road. It's covered with rocks and gravel and, I mean, it takes a surrendered will and a great deal of self-sacrifice to travel this way. This is why most people, including many who go through the narrow gate, eventually change their mind, get off that narrow road, and get on the broad road. Now, that's sad because that's not the life he intended for us. See, it wasn't about just getting saved and going to heaven. It was about living heaven on earth while you're here. Everything that he died to give you while you're here. You don't need healing in heaven. You don't even need salvation in heaven. You don't need any of those things in heaven. When we get there, that's all done. We need it here. And so walking that narrow road, that's where all of those things are found. So the narrow road, again, it can be very uncomfortable for people. And so they kind of want to get, let's go find a little easier path. Right. Joyce Meyer said this about the subject, and I think she did a really good job, so I'm going to quote her on this. She said, following God means walking the narrow road. It means facing adversity. Here are several things that I've learned that help me to keep going, she says. First, God's word is a border for my life. As long as I stay within the guidelines laid out in the scripture, then I have what I need to do what I need to do. God's word is a border for my life. Most people don't want the word of God because the word of God to them is too restricting. It's too, wait a minute. The word of God tells me I can't do this or shouldn't do this or I should do this, but I don't want it that way. Well, that's just too bad. That means that you want to travel the broad road instead of the narrow road, and there are consequences for that. And it's not like God is saying, you know what, you got off that road, you on the wrong road, shame on you, I'm going to slap you. And it's not that, it's that he's already laid it out. He said, look, I've laid before you life and death, choose life. If you go this road, it's death. It's not that God is punishing you for being on the road, it's you're really punishing yourself for being so stupid. I mean, when you're warned and you do it anyway, how many of you would agree that's stupid? God is faithful and God is true to his word. Now, Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I'm following his word is the boundary of my life. If I'm following his word, then it's going to keep me on that narrow path and it's going to light that path for me. All right. So the second thing she said is I have to be willing to finish what I start. I have to be willing to finish what I start. You know, most people don't finish what they start. That a finisher is a rare thing today. I got to be willing to finish. When I start on that narrow way, I got to be willing to finish on that narrow way, right? I got to be willing to go. And again, it's a willingness, because our greatest fight is not against the devil. Our greatest fight is against our own self-will. God uses surrendered people who aren't led by emotion. Now, most people are led by emotion. How do I know that? Well, because even myself, I'm the one up here preaching this, but even myself, if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or push the wrong button or the right button at the wrong time, before I can even think about it, I've reacted. Why? Because we're just so driven by emotion. And then you got to let the Spirit of God overtake that. You know, you got to be willing to finish what you start. God uses surrendered people, but surrendered people cannot be driven by emotion. Now, that emotion's going to rise up from time to time, but you can't be driven by it. It's easy to be excited in the beginning when something's new, but the ones who cross the finish line, the finishers, are the ones who hang in there even when nobody else is excited about it anymore. And that's the thing, is sometimes it's going to feel like you're the only one and you're dragging everybody who don't even want to go, right? And so the finisher is the one who says, you know what, though none go with me, I'm still going to follow. The finisher is the one that says, yeah, that looks easier. That looks, you know, I feel like I could use a break right now. But the finisher says, I'm going to stay on this road no matter what. And here's the thing you got to know, that along that road, along the narrow way, the narrow road, there will be trap after trap after trap after trap set for you, trying to get you, trying to trick you to get off of it, to say, come this way, come this way, come this way. And you're not only fighting the devil, you're fighting your own brain that's looking for ease and comfort. So again, it's easy. It's exciting when it's brand new. But boy, after you've been hit a few times, after you've been betrayed a few times, after you've been lied on a few times, or maybe even they told the truth about you a few times and you wish they wouldn't have, right? But after you've taken a few hits, man, you start thinking, you know, maybe there's a better route. Maybe there's another road. You know, look, that's what Jesus went through in the garden. Father, if there's any other way. It was his humanity showing. And you know what? It wasn't sinful humanity, because he wasn't sinful. But it was humanity. He had a will. Our biggest battle is always going to be the will, our will versus God's will. And I love that example, because Jesus is in the garden. He says, Father, if there's any other way, that's his will. That's his soulish man. That's his soul crying out. If there's any other way. But his spirit rises up and says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And when that battle was won against the will, the human will, he was able to do what was absolutely necessary for our salvation. And thank God he did, because we'd all be doomed. We'd all be lost. Amen. So Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, he says, let us run with endurance. Everybody say endurance. The reason he tells us to run with endurance is because we're going to need endurance to get through this thing, right? It's easy to quit. It doesn't take any effort to quit. You just quit. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. There's the key, the author and perfecter of our faith, the finisher of our faith. He showed us. He gave us the example. He says, keep watching me. Look how I did it. And if I could do it, you could do it. That's what he said. The things I did, you'll also do, right? That doesn't just mean healing the sick. Amen. So, also, when no one is there to help me, I get to know Jesus really well. This is, again, another point that Joyce Myers is making. The narrow road of living for God and not conforming to the ways of the world will often feel lonely. There's just not a whole lot of traffic on that road. It's just not. You know, the other day, Saturday, Tim, my son, invited me to go to the air show with him. But he said, here's the deal. You got to ride in with me because I have a ticket for a carload. He said, so you got to ride in with me. So I went and, you know, I was following him, and he tried to go around 210 and got on Legion Street where all the traffic was. And I mean, it was log jammed. So he calls me and he says, Dad, what do you think if we go back around the other way, the back way? I said, well, yeah, let's try it. We go back around the back way, the narrow way. There was hardly any traffic at all right there. Yeah, but the broad way, the most known way, the way that most people would go, man, it was log jammed. Had cops out there trying to direct and everything. We didn't see a cop one where we were going. It was the narrow way. There were only a few cars on that way, but it got us through. So here's the thing. Many times the narrow road of living for God feels lonely, but I'm telling you, it will be worth it. The trade-off of gaining real intimacy with Christ is worth more than anything you could ever get from the world. So sometimes you may feel alone, but it also draws you closer to Him. All right? Now, those are points that Joyce Meyer made. Now, let's continue on. All right, okay. Number three, the many versus the few, as far as the subject matter, what we're talking about. People choose the broad road because it's the way, again, that the majority seems to be traveling. And after all, you know, they think, you know, how could so many people be wrong? How could so many people be wrong? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a politician get into office because they got voted in and they were the worst thing that could have possibly happened? I can tell you, so many people can be wrong. In fact, I believe that probably most of the time, more people are wrong than right because more people are not serving the Lord than are. And even within the church, there are more people not listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit than are. People choose the more popular way because it's easier, it's less confining. And the reason that only a few find the narrow gate itself, which leads to the narrow way, is because only a few are really interested in finding it. Most people are just, until they come into some kind of terrible crisis, they're just having a blast, doing whatever their flesh wants to do. But then after a while, they hit the consequences, and then they want to start running to Jesus, which is okay, He'll take them. But boy, they sure wasted a lot of time and a lot of opportunity. So some, after having been shown the right way, though, decide that it's too narrow for them, even though they know it's the right way. And they choose rather to go to the broader way, even if they know it's not the right way. All right, so let me give you another thing, main point here, the definite consequences. There are definite consequences. Number one, the choice of gates and roads is completely ours. God will not force His will on us. Again, He's going to let you choose. And He's going to let you choose whether or not you're going to get the rewards or the consequences. That choice happens now. It's kind of like abortion, you know, a woman's right to choose. I believe in a woman's right to choose. Choose to not get pregnant in the first place. Yeah. After that happens, you don't have a choice because it's not your life anymore. Well, there's a time when you can make the choice, but there's a time when you can no longer make the choice. And just to clarify, that doesn't mean, look, we don't hate women who have had to go through that. And even those that have had abortions, we love them. Jesus loved them. He died for their sin as well as anybody's. Amen. But right is right and wrong is wrong. And we have to declare what is right and wrong for the glory of God, not to be ugly to them, but to reach out and love them and to save them. So the narrow gate or way leads us to the blessed life as God intended for us. In other words, all those things, again, are on that narrow way. And there's eternal life in Christ on that way. There's not only that, but there's all of the benefits, everything that accompanies salvation on that way. The narrow road is a fulfilled life of kingdom purpose in its life. It's living heaven on earth, not just waiting until we get to heaven. It leads to great rewards after this life. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. We have to understand, and most people don't, that the wrath of God, that experiencing His wrath, that is our default position. Jesus said, well, actually, Jesus wasn't saying it, but the author of John was saying it, but that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, but the world was already condemned. Right? And so He came to get the world out of condemnation. And it's that same way, if we don't understand, the wrath of God is on them. It's on them. They are going to experience the full wrath of God if they don't come to Christ. If they don't go through that narrow way and take that narrow road, they're going to experience the full wrath of Christ. And if we love them, if we care anything about them, we don't want them to experience that. John 5:24, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And by the way, eternal life, again, it starts here on earth. when we come to repentance. It doesn't start when we get to heaven. Eternal life starts now. All right. Now, the broad gate leads to eternal death and damnation, just like the narrow gate, narrow road leads to life eternal in heaven. The broad gate and that road leads to eternal death and damnation. The broad is a path of destruction of purpose, potential, and peace on earth. Again, one of the saddest things is for a person to go through their whole life, live and die, just trying to earn some money, get some pleasures, you know, and they have no idea why they even exist. And they go to their grave filled with regrets and their life meant nothing, they think. What a horrible way to live and die. But man, we can go to our grave knowing that our life counted for something. It made an eternal difference in somebody. Hopefully lots of somebodies. Many who travel that broad road have no idea what they're headed for. But Romans 6:23 is still in effect. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So some, on the other hand, they're aware of the destination, but they give little or no heed to it. Little or no heed to the warning signs, and they plunge head on into eternal death. Now, there is a demanding choice, and this is the end of it. There is a demanding choice. The fact that there are two gates to enter and there are two roads to be traveled demands that a choice be made. And nobody can make that choice but us. Now, here's a choice we're talking about. We're not just talking about the choice to enter through the narrow gate, but there's also the choice to walk the narrow road. And there are many who have at least claimed to have entered the narrow gate, but they really have no intention to walk the narrow road. They really want to walk the road, the broad road, the easy road, the road with no resistance, the road where they can go with the flow and nobody will won't make anybody feel uncomfortable. They'll be able to affirm everybody's feelings and so on and so forth. And there's no conflict there. And so many people, that's what they're going to do. And so there is a choice that has to be made, and nobody said it's an easy choice, but it is certainly the wisest choice, and it is the choice that is going to bless your life on earth and in heaven. The obvious choice is that which leads to life, both on the earth and thereafter. And again, he said, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. And though it may be more difficult and it may involve a more spirit-led, disciplined lifestyle, which, to be honest with you, the reason most people don't live a spirit-led, disciplined lifestyle is because they don't want God to be in control. They want to be in control. It's not easy to give up control, right? I know that. I know that for a fact. I know that personally in my flesh. Anytime I'm going anywhere and my wife is driving, I want to control the vehicle and vice versa, right? Because we don't like it when somebody else is in control. Why? Because we have to trust them that they're going to do the right thing at every moment. Well, we can trust God. Amen. We can trust the Holy Spirit. In the end, the result will be better. It'll be better than what we could ever possibly imagine. So this choice must be made personally. This choice must be made wisely. And this choice really must be made immediately. Can I tell you again that if you know the right way, if you know the way that's going to bless your life, and you choose to go the other way, you are a stupid fool. And that's what the Bible says. Since we ended with such a spiritual note, I want to give you a response, give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Now, remember, here's the thing. Everybody in this room, you may be saved. You may be born again. You may have entered through the narrow gate. But the question is, are you walking on the narrow road? Are you really walking the narrow road? Is your life really, what that is your life really submitted to the Holy Spirit? Because if it really is submitted to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, he's going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, not just to defeat the enemy, but to see the supernatural and the miraculous, opportunity after opportunity to make eternal differences in people's lives. Opportunities abound on the narrow road, and it's going to reflect in your life. So for some of you, maybe that's the thing today. I know from time to time for myself, I have to look at it. God, am I on the road that you want me to travel, or am I leaning to my own understanding? The problem with leaning to my own understanding, when I get out of the Spirit, I now put myself back under the penalty of the law. And people say, well, no. Once you're saved, the law is done away. No, only if you're being led by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. If you've been led by the flesh, you're putting yourself back under the penalty of the law, and you're going to have pain coming your way that didn't have to come your way. So we want to stay in the Spirit. So I just believe that today, that's what I need to just pray over you again. And by all means, for yourself, you say, look, I know that I know I've been straying off of that narrow way, that kind of wanting to lean to my own understanding, do things my own way. Man, if that's the case, it's the good thing about it is it's so easy to get back on the narrow way. It's that four-letter word Pastor Cindy said, six letters actually. R-E-P-E-N-T, but most people think it's a four-lettered word. Just repent. God, it's the first command of Christ. God, this don't make any sense to me, but I repent. I want to see it the way you see it. I want to do what you want me to do, even though my mind can't comprehend it right now. Now, Father, and look, if you want to receive, just lift your hands up. Father, I just thank you today for people. Lord, I know that they are called. They are anointed. God, they've been appointed by you, Lord, to light the darkness up, Lord, to let your fire flow through them, God, to let the Spirit of God touch lives through them. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Now I thank you for an infilling, a refilling of the Holy Spirit today, God, a refilling, a recharge, God, a refreshing today of your people, Father. I thank you, God, for putting us back on that narrow way, living life the way you said to live it, Lord. By the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, Lord, your kingdom, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. Lord, let that be what our life looks like. Heaven on earth, God. I thank you for all the blessings that you put along the narrow way. I thank you for all of the incredible things that accompany the salvation that's on the narrow way. I thank you for the fulfillment of purpose that is on the narrow way. I thank you, Father, that it's a life of no regrets when we're on the narrow way. And Lord, I just thank you, God, for raising your people up once again, God, encouraging them, strengthening them, Father. Lord, help them to get their focus back on you, Father God. Help us to put our eyes back on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, God. Lord, I thank you for using these people for your glory. I thank you, Father, that not only will they see lives forever changed as they speak truth and share their testimonies, but I thank you for the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, Lord God, and to cast out devils and heal incurable diseases, God. And I thank you, Father God, that they'll even raise the dead for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you that you've called and commissioned them. And so, Lord, we make the choice today collectively. Get back on. We're getting back on the narrow way, the broad way. And through your grace, through the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we'll endure whatever kind of things we have to endure as long as we know that we're with you, God. And you said you would never leave us or forsake us on this narrow way. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. We're so grateful. So privileged to know you. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you shout a big amen to the Lord.